Our gospel reading is also the basis of our meditation this morning. And this is a powerful reading. Not to suggest that all the other readings we have aren't powerful, but this is really something. It starts in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there he met a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him, Jesus, not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So Jesus got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Wow. That's a crazy story. Was your conversion like that? Close. I mean, this is amazing. Boy, does he have a story to tell. What a dramatic rescue of a precious human being. No different than you. No different than me. But you have to admit, that's an amazing story. And yet, your conversion is no less epic and precious and important to God. Certainly that man had a story to tell, but so do you. Tell your story. Tell your story. Tell the people in your life what God has done for you. Tell your story, the title of our meditation this morning. Now, I mean, we know of some of these other amazing conversions. I mean, we all heard about the Apostle Paul, who, while still breathing threats against Christ and his church, was blinded by the light, Jesus saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" And how the conversion of Paul was such a huge thing. And you know, as you read the Acts of the Apostles, Paul told the story a handful of times. It was a message he had to share about how self-righteous he was, just in love with his own righteousness, thinking he was better than others, and how wrong he was, and what it meant to be saved by grace. And to be sure, God did a lot of important things through the Apostle Paul. But your life isn't any less important. Tell your story. Tell the people in your life about the great things God has done for you. But maybe a little closer to home, we have Luther. I mean, you and I, and really, Protestantism lives in the shadow of his conversion. I mean, he grew up in the church, baptized on St. Martin's Day, got the name Martin. And yet, he was growing up in a church that wasn't teaching the children what it means to be children of God, but what it means to earn the favor of God, as if that could happen. And then one day, the Lord pierced his heart and mind by his Spirit so that Luther realized that all this righteousness that he thought he could earn was actually a righteousness bestowed for the sake of Jesus, a righteousness that was received alone by simply believing that we're loved and forgiven for Christ's sake. And boy, the Reformation took place in the 16th century. And yet, brothers and sisters in Christ, God's adoption of your life, God making you his own, is just as epic and just as important in God's economy in reaching the lost with the message of love. So tell your story. Tell your story. There was a guy in a congregation I served who worked for a parachurch ministry called Teen Challenge. And he had quite a story. He had quite a wild life. And he got so sick of himself, he decided to buy a night stay at a motel where he was going to kill himself. And before he killed himself, he was going to shoot the Bible. And so he grabbed the Gideon Bible that was tucked away and put it on the stand. And as he was fixing to shoot the Bible, he opened it up and read it. And it changed his life. I heard the story of a guy one time driving and seeing a package in an intersection. And I heard this at a Gideon banquet. And it was a Bible, and he thought it was something important. But it was the most important thing he could have found because it changed his life. I mean, these are dramatic stories, but your story is no less important to the Lord. And in a lot of ways, it's just as dramatic. Sinners saved by grace. To be sure, the story of this guy running around naked, being bound, incarcerated, breaking out, running away, living in the cemeteries. I mean, just imagine what this guy was doing to the community he was living in. I mean, how many ways did he just make the place miserable? How many ways did his possession of demons wreck him, wreck his... I mean, we don't know if he was a father, a married, a grandfather, one of the most important businessmen that just got lost. All we know is that he became the object of Jesus' ministry. And we see, even here in our Savior's ministry, the challenge with the battle between God and evil. It's quite a conversation, would you agree? He's talking with the demons. The man himself says, "What do you have to do with me, Son of the Most High God?" I mean, why did he know who Jesus was? He recognizes who Jesus is. Son of the Most High God. We said something like that in the Apostles' Creed. I mean, he knows who he's facing, and he doesn't want to be tormented by him. His name, Legion. That's a lot. And the guy is possessed. And so Jesus is going to cast out the demons and save and rescue the man. And the demons are talking. The demons are talking to Jesus. Please don't send us into the abyss. The abyss. They know about it. The bottomless pit. The place of judgment. Forever. They don't want Jesus to send them there. I mean, this is such a powerful, powerful story. And so he says, okay, I'll send you to the pigs, you know, if that's your request. And they die. Is that where we got deviled ham? I don't know. But this is a profoundly dramatic rescue. And it certainly invokes a lot of fear. To be sure. To be sure. And it's pretty sobering for us today to consider that we live in a world of spiritual bondage, where the devil is still in the details along with his demons. The one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, how much of what we're seeing going on in our culture is just that the devil's in the details, raging and chafing against God's will and ways? How many ways do we have to take and confess the credit to ourselves and our own sinful natures, where out of our hearts proceed evil thoughts? I mean, we're still struggling with that in your life and my life, where we entertain things that are just plain evil. Out of the heart, Jesus says, Mark 7, 21 through 23, proceed evil thoughts. You're good at it. So am I. How many ways can we get out of our right mind? Dare we say legion? So the battle between God and evil continues to this time, even as the devil roars about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. And some of the things that we hear about the wickedness, I mean, it's crazy. It's scary. You know, when you read Leviticus, you hear a lot of thou shalt not, don't do this, don't do that. And I know when I was younger and I'd read that, I would think, I didn't even want to read that or hear that. That's gross. And yet God says to Jeremiah in chapter 35, verse 32, my people are doing things that I haven't even thought about. Again, God says to Jeremiah, my family is doing things that I, God, have not even thought about. We call this in our Lutheran theology the mystery of wickedness. And yet, all of that is no match for Jesus. Thank God. Think about what this man was being delivered from. Think about what happened to him in his life. I mean, we don't know. We don't know anything about his identity other than he was in profound spiritual bondage and Jesus was rescuing him. Let's read this together. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So what is Jesus doing with this man with a legion of demons in him? He's giving him abundant life. Abundant life. The man is delivered. The people run out to see this fantastic story. And he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He's settled. He's living God's dream, God's plan, just like you are, just like I am. Perhaps you're thinking, so this is the abundant life, what I'm going through, Pastor? Yeah, it is, just like I am. We're alive. That means we're sensitive to all the darkness. We're sensitive to the pain and the struggle. That's being alive and not hard-hearted and not blinded by the devil, who has blinded the hearts and minds of the unbelievers. We are alive and kicking to see and experience and understand and to stay close to the one who loves us, the one who has rescued us. And while your conversion may not be as dramatic as his, it's just as epic, being rescued, being brought into the family of God. And, I mean, think about it this way. Not only is your conversion just as epic, but so is Christ's daily care of you. And for many of us, we've been believers all of our lives. We've known about what it means to be loved and forgiven ever since we were little. Well, that's because we were subjects of an emergency baptism where God took a screaming little enemy and embraced and brought him or her into the family of God. Every baptism is an emergency baptism where God comes to our rescue and draws us to himself. Or maybe it's when you first heard the gospel and you said, God did that for me. You were rescued. You were rescued. Made a part of God's family. Even today, God comes to our rescue. Maybe there are things going on in your life where you're still not in your right mind about this. You got an attitude, or you've got some kind of a theory, or, I mean, whatever. I mean, how many times has God placed you back in your right mind and you're just so thankful that you're at peace again? I mean, he's at work. This is Christ's care of your life and my life. We say in our Lutheran clergy speak, under word and sacrament. And man, that covers a whole lot. That covers our devotions. That covers our songs. That covers our hymns. That covers our prayer books and the conversations we have with brothers and sisters in Christ who speak the truth of God's love into our lives. Dads, as you teach your little children how to hold their hands and pray, as you teach them how to talk about the bullies at school, as you teach them how to tell the truth and what it means to be forgiven. That's what it's about. And it all happens because of what Christ has done in rescuing us from the powers of darkness, bringing us into his marvelous light. And yet we must also confess that there are days where the darkness is strong and evil seems to be winning. And yet, keep this in mind, they are no match for our Savior Jesus. Again, it's profound to think of the demons asking Jesus not to send them to the abyss. I mean, who's sufficient to even understand some of this story? And yet it's the story. And the man's rescue. I mean, Jesus gave him his whole life back. Everything. All of it. Did he run home? Did he kiss his wife? Did he see his kids, his grandkids? Did he get back to the business as the instrumental key in the whole thing? Who knows? But he was alive. And he knew what he was rescued from. And he had a story to tell. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's just absolutely wonderful. But your life is no different. Think of all the wonderful things God has done for you. Think of all the ways that God has rescued you from your sin and your wickedness. And all the ways that God has sustained you to this very moment. You have a story to tell as well. It's not about the money you earn, unless you're going to give God credit for that. It's not about the education you have, unless you're going to give God credit for that. I mean, all the blessings in your life are gifts from God. But even deeper than that are all the spiritual gifts that God has given to you and all the ways that he has rescued you from spiritual bondage. That's profound. Tell your story about how Christ is taking care of you. You know, in our culture, we get trained to polish and present ourselves in all kinds of ways. It's not about us. It's pointing to the Lord. It's telling people what God has done for us. It's about following him and celebrating him. You know, you have more than a story. You are a story. Your whole life is God's story to the people in your home, to your family and friends, the lives you touch. Share your story. Tell your family how God is answering your prayers. Tell your family what it's like to be forgiven. Show them what it looks like to follow Jesus. I mean, it's fascinating. He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to just go and be wherever Jesus was. And Jesus said, no, go home. And Luke tells us that, quote, and he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Do you suppose there were some that said, oh boy, this guy, no way. I remember when, or boy, will he ever change? This is a scam. This is just another one of those demon possessions. Who knows? All we know is he proclaimed what God had done. And while his conversion is pretty dramatic and epic, your life and my life with God is just as important to God for the lives that we touch. It's so cool. And today, Father's Day, it's important for us fathers to understand the critical role we have. You know, we have generations of men and women, boys and girls, 18 to 88, who are unfathered, unmothered, unparented, unfamilied. And they need to know what it means to belong. They long to know what it means to belong. And as fathers, we play such a critical role. I mean, I don't know. I've been looking at some of the news articles, and I've been hit a couple of times with fatherless homes. We lead the nations, plural. Thinking, wow. Let us take our roles and understand God's design and be what God has designed us to be. Our most important ministries start in our homes. And then they ripple out. And it's never too late, grandpas, to be what God has designed you to be. To tell the stories of what God has done for you. You know, I tell some stories to my kids, and I can't believe sometimes that I tell them. I'm not proud of them. I'm not ashamed of them. I just know that's part of my story about God writing his grace in my life. And I share those things. You know, I had an elder in one of the churches I served. Every once in a while would tell the story about how he got his priorities all mixed up. Lifelong Lutheran. And how he just got lost. And how God brought him through. And I was always so thankful when that elder told the story. And sometimes I would think, I wish he would tell it more. Because it's such a good story for people who don't take the church very seriously and turn it more into something like a hobby instead of a way of life. This last Tuesday, a part of my family and I were able to drive out to West Texas to a funeral, attend a funeral of a friend. He and I met at our district convention 4 years ago, and we struck up a friendship, and he befriended me and my family, and he was a couple of generations. Now there's like, I guess, like 6 or 7 generations there of this family. And he chased oil rigs all kinds of places up in Wyoming, Montana, Dakotas. But he was a churchman. He was a lifelong Lutheran, and he was my friend. And it was so much fun to go to that funeral and hear the word of God. And to hear the pastor say, this man was a sinner. And many of you, because you're in a small community, know he was, but he also believed in Jesus and what Jesus rescued him from. And he'd be the first to say he was a sinner, and yet he was saved by God's amazing grace. And we sang all these old hymns, and I just thought, man, this is so cool. And when my wife and daughter and I went out to Lubbock for Kate's orientation, we stopped in. On the way back, he was getting a blood transfusion, and I had a chance to say, I love you, and I'll see you later, knowing that death isn't the end. And it was so much fun to go and see the committal. It was so much fun to go to the fellowship hall and have barbecue and to see this huge family and understand the impact of this man. To also know that many of the family have the same love for the Lord. Because that's God's design. His design for you. And while this might be quite an epic story, your story is no less important. The impact you have on your family is no less important. It's just as precious to God. You can be who you are by God's design. You can be the impact that God has prepared for you. I think about this man delivered. I mean, we don't even know his name. We don't know the stories he told or how he told them. I wonder what he thought when he heard about the rabbi who was crucified outside of Jerusalem. He knew who he was, what he had done for him. But now it's about us. It's about you. It's about me. It's about us telling our stories of what it means to be sinners saved by grace. How we stumble and fall, fumble in our ways, and God keeps embracing us. Our Father keeps loving us. And that no matter how far we run away from home or think we're stronger and smarter than the old man, we know that we can run home. The light's always on, the door's always open. And there's a place around our Father's table where we can laugh with our Father and celebrate our identities as those delivered and rescued by Jesus, with plenty of stories to tell through the dangers, tolls, and snares of our lives, how God has been so good to us. Tell your story. Share your story, my brothers and sisters in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.